This week, 60 years ago, Darcy and I were married 3 months, and we moved to Ashland, Kentucky. And I became the assistant pastor of the Pollard Baptist Church. And 4 years later, they called me to be their pastor, and we've been there since. And thank God for His mercy to us. But we both realize that we're not 21 anymore, we're 80. And we realize we're the oldest people in this congregation. That's a shocking fact for a fellow to realize. Most everywhere we go now, Darcy and I are the oldest people present. She was having a meeting with a group of ladies not long ago, and my granddaughter was there. And Darcy looked at her and said, "Do you realize I'm the oldest person in this group?" Carrie said, "I realize you're the oldest one driving, I know that." But we talk, Darcy and I talk frequently about this, very frequently. And we can say with David, we can say with the psalmist David, "As for us, we will behold thy face in righteousness, and we shall be satisfied when we await in his likeness." And also with Job, Job said this. He said, "If a man dies, shall he live again?" And he added, "All the days of my appointed time, I will wait till my change comes." And that's what we're doing. We're talking about it. We're praying about it. We're rejoicing in it, and we're going to be changed. "For this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality. Then shall be brought to pass the saying, death is swallowed up in victory." So we wait. We wait at His door in prayer. We wait at His feet in submission. We wait at His table, rejoicing in the bread and the wine in faith. We wait with His other children in worship. And we wait till our course is fulfilled. It will be very soon. Very soon. And Paul said, "My course is finished. And there's laid up for us a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, our righteous judge, shall give us at that day, and not to us only, but to all them that love His appearing." That's going to be a glad day. A wonderful day. So I'm going to talk about it tonight. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Revelation. The revelation of Jesus Christ. Chapter 14, verse 13. And John said this in Revelation 14:13, "And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." That's my text. That's text enough for me, isn't it? This is John, the beloved disciple, writing here. All the disciples were dead except John. All of them had been martyred except John. And he was about, we think, maybe 90 years old. And he was in exile on the Isle of Patmos. And he said, a voice from heaven said to me. This is the same voice that said from heaven, let there be light. This is the same voice that said from heaven, let us make man. This is the same voice which said from heaven, and this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this is my beloved Son, you hear him. The voice said to me, write. Don't just hear it, John. Write it down. Don't trust your judgment, John, to remember it or to repeat it. Write it down. He said to me, write. Write it in the scriptures, in the infallible, inerrant, verbally inspired word of God. Write it. Write it for all to hear and to read and to believe and to heed. Write it like Job said in a book. There it is. Write it in the rock. Write it, engrave it on my tombstone, Job said. Write it in the rock forever. What? I know my Redeemer liveth. I know my Redeemer liveth. And he shall stand at the latter day on this earth. And though worms destroy this body, in my flesh, in me, myself, I'm going to see the Lord and rejoice in him. This is eternal truth, my friends. This is eternal truth. This is sweeter than honey. This is a treasure richer by far than gold. This word will calm your fears. This blessed word will heal your broken heart. This word will give you peace. The only peace you have on this earth is the word he gave us. It'll give you joy. It'll give you hope. This word will comfort you in your sorrow. And this word will rob death of its sting and the grave of its victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The voice of God said, John, write. Write for everybody to hear. Preach it to all men. Tell it to your children and to your grandchildren. Write this, John. Write it. What do you want me to write, Lord? I want you to write, blessed are the dead. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. Now listen. The Lord didn't say, blessed are all the dead. The Lord didn't say, blessed are all the dead. He said, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. Multitudes die every day. I don't know how many. Thousands and thousands die every day, of whom it cannot be said. They're blessed. They're not blessed. But the Holy Word of God says this. Listen to it. Psalm 116. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. It's precious. Numbers 23. Let me die the death of the righteous. Let my end be like his. John said, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. But he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. So this is my message tonight. Tell it. Tell it. And tell it like it is. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. Here's the heart of my message. What is it to die in the Lord? That's the main thing I need to deal with and I need to talk about tonight. What is it to die in the Lord? What is it to be in the Lord? If I'm in the Lord, I die in the Lord. Well, what is it to be in the Lord? Let me give you five things. You remember them now. First of all, to be in the Lord is to be in Him by an everlasting covenant. You see, our God is a covenant God. The word covenant occurs in the Scriptures over 300 times. Our God's a covenant God. He made a covenant with Adam. He made a covenant with Noah. He made a covenant with Abraham. He made a covenant with Moses. He made a covenant with David. And when David lay dying on his deathbed, he wrote about that covenant. It was the last words he ever spoke. Let's turn to it in the book of 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter 23. These are the last words of David. And you know what he talks about in these last words? This blessed covenant in the Lord by covenant mercies. Listen to 2 Samuel 23 verse 22 verse 23. 2 Samuel 22, 23. Now, these be the last words of David. David, the son of Jesse, said, the man who was raised up on high, the anointed of the God of Jacob, the sweet psalmist of Israel, said, the Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and His word was in my tongue. The God of Israel said, the rock of Israel spake to me. He that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. And he shall be as the light of the morning when the sun riseth, even a morning without clouds, even the tender grass springing out of the earth by clear shining after rain. Here it is. Although my soul, although my house be not so with God, yet, God hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. And this is all my salvation and all my desire, although He make it not to grow. Oh, what a blessed, blessed promise. And Paul wrote about it in Hebrews chapter 13. Turn to Hebrews 13. This everlasting covenant. The Lord hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. And then Paul wrote about it in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20. Listen. Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work, to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. You know, a fellow walked in my study. One day I was sitting at the desk, and a well-dressed man came walking in, and I stood and greeted him, shook his hand, and he said, you Reverend Lee? And I said, yes, sir. He said, I'm Lawyer Smith. I forget his name. I've called him Lawyer. I'm a lawyer from Chillicothe, Ohio. I have some papers for you. I said, what's it all about? He said, well, this widow lady in Chillicothe has died, and she left her inheritance to you and to your friend E.J. Daniels and to the Church of Christ and to Jimmy Swaggart. That's the fact. And I said, what's this all about? He said, well, he said, the family's going to contest the will. I said, I don't blame them. And he said, what you'll have to do is get you a lawyer. And he said, I'll be glad to be your lawyer. And we can contest this saying. I said, I'm not interested. He said, you're not interested? I said, no, sir. He said, you don't know what she left. I said, I'm still not interested. Because I'm pastor of a church, and I don't intend to go to court and fight a dying lady and her family over her will. That'd be the end of my ministry. He said, I see what you're talking about. He said, well, just sign these papers, and I'll take care of it. It's the last I ever heard from her. I watched her laugh, but I'm glad she didn't leave it to me. My inheritance is secure. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 6. Your inheritance and my inheritance will never be contested in a human court or in the court of glory. It's signed and sealed in the blood of Christ and settled forever. Here it is. Watch it. Hebrews 6, verse 17. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs. I'm his heir. You are too. Show unto the heirs of promise the unchangeableness, immutability of his covenant, of his counsel, confirmed by an oath. God Almighty took an oath. He sure did. He confirmed this covenant by two things. Verse 18. That by two immutable things, in which it's impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Whither the forerunner is for us entered in, our advocate, our lawyer, our mediator, even Jesus, made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. We're in Christ by a divine covenant. And then secondly, we're in Christ by divine choice. 'Tis not that I did choose thee. Lord, that could not be. My heart would still refuse thee. But thou hast chosen me. My heart would still refuse thee, but thou hast chosen me. My heart, though, owns none but thee, and for thy rich grace I thirst, this knowing that if I love you, you must have loved me first. Yes, that's right. You must have learned before. You know, it was an old preacher. All I know is about old preacher stories. This old preacher out in Texas, Dr. J.B. Gambrill. He was out working in his flower garden. And the next door neighbor came over. And she struck up a conversation. She said, Dr. Gambrill, she said, you're a Baptist, aren't you? He said, yes, ma'am. She said, you Baptists believe in election, don't you? He said, yes, ma'am. Not all of them, but I do. She said, what is election? He said, well, sister, he said, are you saved? She said, yes, sir, I'm saved. Well, he said, who saved you? Oh, she said, God saved me. He said, well, sister, if God saved you, did he do it on purpose? Or was it an accident? She thought a minute. She said, he did it on purpose. He said, that's election. Everything God does, he does on purpose. To fulfill his blessed will. I had a friend, T.B. Freeman. You remember T.B. Freeman? In Mims, Florida. I believe that's where he died not too long ago. But T.B. was a good friend of Ralph Barnard's. And T.B. sent Brother Barnard a tract that he had written on election. And this is the way he entitled it, The Hated Doctrine of Election. And he sent it to Brother Barnard and said, I want you to read this and tell me what you think about it. Brother Barnard just turned it over and wrote a note on the back, changed the name and sent it back to him. He said, this is not a hated doctrine. This is the beloved doctrine of election. That's a whole different thing. It's the beloved doctrine of election. If it hadn't been for election, none of us would be saved. God chose us. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ Jesus, according as He chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children. We're in Christ by a divine covenant, by a divine choice. And we're in Christ, thirdly, by precious, precious blood. Turn to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Oh, I love this scripture. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that washed me white as snow. No other fountain do I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Listen to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 17. And if you call on the Father, if you call Him Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, you pass the time of your sojourning here in fear, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but you were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifested in these last days for you who by Him do believe. You who are in Christ, by Him you believe that God raised Him from the dead and gave Him glory, that your faith and your hope might be where? In God. In the precious blood of Christ. I went to Chattanooga, Tennessee in the latter part of 1947 and went to school at Tennessee Temple College. I wanted to be a preacher and I felt like I needed some training. And so I went to Tennessee Temple College and for 2.5 years while I pastored a church in Chattanooga. And the president of the college was my pastor when I was a boy growing up, Dr. Lee Robinson in Chattanooga. And I used to go with him in meetings to lead singing for him. And I had an old Packard, an old 1935 Packard. It was a straight eight. You fellas remember that with those spare tires on either side and that lady in front, you know, and it looked like a tank, you know, big long thing, 1935. And I took a bunch of young people with me in the service where Dr. Robinson was preaching, and I led the singing. And on the way back, it's pouring down rain, and we were driving along, and I couldn't see real well, and I missed a stop sign. STOP, I flat missed it and ran into a Model A Ford and turned it over. A bunch of young people in it, and one of them was hurt. Girl was cut. The police came and wrote me a ticket. And I went home that night, and it had on there I was to appear in a court before a judge a certain day. And I called my father. And I said, I think I'm in trouble. And you come up here at that certain day with me and we'll face this judge and see what I have to do. And I said, you better bring your checkbook because I think I'm in trouble. And so he came at a certain date. We went down to the court. And I took my place right over here. I could see it like yesterday. I took my place over here, my dad beside me, and the judge on the bench, and the recording secretary, and the policeman, all those people. And he started calling names and judging people. They come up and deal their sentence or pay their fine or something. And after a while, everybody was gone but my dad and me. And he turned and said, "What can I do for you?" I said, "Well, Your Honor," I said, "I had a wreck a few weeks ago, and I turned a car over, and some people were hurt, and I got this citation to be in court today." He turned to the secretary, and he said, "You got a record of that?" She said, "No, sir." He turned to the policeman and said, "You fellas writing tickets that night?" Said, "Yes, we're writing tickets, but I don't have a ticket on him." The judge said, "Well, I got nothing to do but let you go. Everything's all right." And I floated out of there. I didn't walk out. Free! Somebody paid my fine. Somebody satisfied the court's justice on my behalf. And Christ did that for me. Jesus paid it all. All the debt I owe. Sin left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. We're in Christ. We're in Christ by divine covenant. We're in Christ by divine choice. We're in Christ by precious, redeeming, satisfying, eternal blood that flowed from the Savior's vein, put away all our sin. And therefore now there's no judgment for them who are in Christ Jesus. He said, "You're free to go." Oh boy, won't that be wonderful? To realize permanently, perfectly, we're free. The black people, you sang "Free at Last." That's what we are, free at last. Paid. All right. Fourthly, to be in Christ is to be there by saving faith. To be in Christ by saving faith. Turn to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, verse 1 through 5. Let me ask four questions. What did Abraham find? All right, let's read it here. Romans 4, verse 1. What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? What did he find? He found God. Abraham didn't know God. Abraham was raised in idolatry. He was raised over there with his brother and his father, and they were idol worshippers. And the God called him. And God spoke to him. And God revealed himself to him. And Abraham found God. He found righteousness in God. That's how he found what he found. All right, how'd he find it? Verse 2. For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. What saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God. It was counted to him for righteousness. That's how Abraham found righteousness and found God, by believing. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life. Wrath of God abideth on him. When did Abraham find this righteousness? Was it after he was circumcised? Was it after he had Isaac? Was it after he was tempted and tried? Was it after he went to Mount Moriah and offered to sacrifice Isaac? No, sir. You know when Abraham found God and found righteousness and was saved? When he believed. I want to show you that. Turn with me to Genesis 15. Genesis chapter 15. Abraham was saved 15 years before he was ever circumcised. In Genesis chapter 15. Listen to this. Genesis 15 verse 5 and 6. Genesis 15 verse 5 and 6. Listen to it. Verse 4. Genesis 15, verse 4. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of your own bowels should be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Abraham, look towards heaven. Tell me, tell the stars, if you're able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord. It was counted to him right then for righteousness. If a man believes, if a woman believes, hears this gospel, receives this gospel, lays hold upon this gospel, believes it, he's saved right then. Well, the fourth question. What did Abraham find? He found perfect, pure holiness and righteousness. He found God. How did he find it? He believed God. When did he find it? When he believed God. When he believed, not when he did this, that, and the other. When he believed, isn't that right, brother? He believed God. How did I know that he found it? I'll show you. Turn to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. I know exactly how I can show you that he found it. Hebrews 11, verse 8. All right, ready? Hebrews 11, 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, right then, when he was called, to go out in the place where he should have to receive an inheritance, he obeyed. And he went out not even knowing where he was going. He believed God and he minded God. And he obeyed. That's the proof that he believed God. He minded the Lord. That's the fruit of faith, obedience. That's the proof of faith, obedience. That's the evidence of faith, obedience. He believed God. And he acted upon the word of God. Isn't that true? Certainly it is. He obeyed the Lord. All right, to be in Christ. Turn back to the text. Revelation 14. Revelation 14, verse 13. To be in Christ is to be in Christ by a divine covenant. It's to be in Christ by divine choice. It's to be in Christ by precious blood. It's to be in Christ by saving faith, obedient faith. And fifthly, to be in Christ is to walk in Christ and to work in Christ. Now watch this. Revelation 14, 13. I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them. What he's saying is this, those who know Christ and those who love Christ and honor Christ and serve Christ do have works. They do have works. That's fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, faith, long-suffering, meekness. These things are the fruit of God's Spirit who dwells within us. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead. Well, what does the voice say here? He says, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Now the voice didn't say their works go before them. Their works go before them to introduce them in the presence of Christ. No, Christ did that. Christ said, I go to prepare a place for you. All the work that needs to be done by preparing for us a place is done by Christ. All right? Their works do follow them. They don't go before them. Their works do not even accompany them into God's presence to plead their case. Christ is the one that intercedes. There's one mediator between God and me, and that's the man Christ Jesus. And they're the one mediator, and that one advocate is Christ. And so he doesn't need any works on our behalf to plead for us. He's the one that intercedes. Well, let's follow it on more. Their works do follow them, not as a reward. The Lord said to Abraham, I'm your exceeding great reward. Well, what do their works, why do their works follow them? Their works follow them to the praise and glory of Christ as a good evidence of God's grace, but to give God all the glory. They follow. There's some wonderful people in glory, and they're there because of Christ. But there's some wonderful people in glory that Almighty God said to them when He brought them to glory. He said, well done. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou's been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many. Got an exceeding great reward, but it's up there waiting for us. It's not going to precede us. It's not going to go with us. It's going to come to the glory of our Lord who redeemed us. And when I stand before His throne, dressed in beauty, not my own, when I see Him, when I see Thee as Thou art and love Thee with an unsinning heart, then, Lord, I really know, and not till then, how very much I owe. Chosen not for good in me, wakened up from wrath to flee, hidden in my Savior's side, by His Spirit sanctified, teach me, Lord, on this earth to show, by Thy love, how much I owe. I think we show that. And we'll talk about this. We'll talk about this tomorrow morning. This love of Christ on behalf of His people. Over here in Philippians. Turn over there just a minute. Philippians. We'll talk about this in a morning. The Lord willing. Philippians. It's Titus. Titus, that's where I will. I've got to find out where I'm going to preach from for tomorrow. In Titus, chapter 3. Now, I am going to preach in Philippians. Let's turn back to I like that. Philippians, chapter 2. Here it is, yeah. This is my text. I promise I'll study and find out where it is. 4 in the morning. Philippians chapter 2. If there be any consolation in Christ. Is there? Yes, there is. If there's any comfort in the love of Christ. Yes, there is. Is any fellowship, real, genuine fellowship in Christ? Oh my, yes. Any bowels? That's a depth of emotion and expression and feeling and affection. Is there any bowels in mercy? There is. Then you fulfill my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love, being one accord and one mind. We'll talk about that in the morning. That's those God's people. I keep saying that God's people, they know they're sinners. There's not anybody here in this building that believes in works for salvation. Not one living soul here. But I'm telling you this, the Lord has chosen us to work for His glory and serve His people in a kind and merciful and tender and gracious and generous and loving way. And we need to talk about it. More than I used to. All right. Thank you, Brother Doug.
So glad I was here to hear that and able to hear it.